Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
With their tanks and their bombs and their bombs and their guns in your head, in your head, zombie, 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 what's in your head, in your head, zombie, zombie, zombie,
Today we're here to honor and remember a fearless warrior for liberty, beloved leader who galvanized the next generation like nobody I've ever seen before, and an American patriot of the deepest conviction, the finest quality and the highest caliber, the late, great Charlie Kirk.
Yesterday, President Trump awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to, of course, Charlie Kirk posthumously. It was a really moving ceremony. President Trump's portion was fine. Erica Kirk's portion was amazing, as has been the case. I don't know if you had a chance to watch the service where, you know, he spoke after her, but they got the order right this time. He spoke and then she spoke.
5 weeks ago, our nation was robbed of this extraordinary champion. He was a champion in every way. I got to know him so well. He didn't like losing. And he was able to fight people that were enemies. And he didn't necessarily love those enemies so much. You know, I heard he loved his enemies. And I said, wait a minute, is that the same Charlie that I know? I'm not sure. But I didn't want to get into it.
You know, this has kind of become a theme where the president has mentioned this a few times. Which, of course, as a Christian, I hear him say that, and I think, what do you mean you don't understand? You know, but I think the president doesn't understand that concept. And, you know, to him, enemies are people that you hate. And not permanently, though, of course. You know, somebody who's an enemy today can become a best friend tomorrow, Marco Rubio. you know, somebody who is an absolute friend today can become an absolute enemy tomorrow. You know, I mean, name your list of former employees, John Bolton, for example. You know, or the Attorney General Bill Barr or whoever. So, you know, but the idea of praying for your enemies, loving your enemies, you know, for those who mercilessly persecute you, as the Bible kind of phraseology goes, I don't think he gets that. And I think when he looks at somebody like Charlie Kirk, who prays for his enemies and loves his enemies, as the Bible commands us, I don't think he does understand that.
And that's why this afternoon it's my privilege to posthumously award Charles James Kirk our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Thank you.
And, you know, it's interesting, for as many of the things that people have proposed to honor Charlie Kirk that I have criticized, the naming of the street here in Escambia County, I thought that was a misfire, and that ultimately was, you know, pulled back by Mike Kohler, the chairman of the county commission. And then this, I still think, abundantly ridiculous bill to name a street on every single college campus university in the state of Florida for Charlie Kirk, including Campus Drive at the UWF and also, you know, College Boulevard at PSC. But I've said there are many other things you could do to honor him that would make sense. Oh, this makes perfect sense. Giving the Presidential Medal of Freedom, it's 100% on target. This is absolutely a perfect, appropriate thing for him to do to honor the memory, the legacy, the work, everything that Charlie Kirk did. You know, there were parts of this speech that, again, I find some of the off-the-cuff comments by President Trump sort of more recently about faith, religion, his own beliefs to be, I don't know. I don't know what to make of them. I mean, I don't want to be uncharitable and infer things that, you know, would seem to indicate that maybe his faith isn't either very well formed or hasn't been informed by a lot of teaching. or what his faith is, but he says things that just kind of sit weird for somebody who is, you know, self-describes as a believer. You know, I'm always cautious about judging somebody's faith. I will say their faith doesn't comport with biblical standards. I mean, that's easy enough to tell a lot of times. Sometimes it's not easy to tell. But it's a very dubious thing to make a claim about somebody's faith, because they may have it in a very nascent form, or they may have it in a way that just looks weird to you or to me, but doesn't look weird to others or look weird to them. And you know, just want to—I always want to be kind of cautious about that. But he has said a lot of things recently that are just—they're weird. They're weird for a Christian to say.
But Charlie never missed an opportunity to remind us of the Judeo-Christian principles of our nation's founding, or to share his deep Christian faith. In his final moments, Charlie testified to the greatness of America and to the glory of our Savior, with whom he now rests in heaven. And he is going to make heaven. I said, I'm not sure I can make it, but he's going to make it. He's there. He's looking down on us right now. It's so incredible. Look at this, how this turned out. This was supposed to be so dark and cloudy. Not dark and cloudy, is it? Look at that, how beautiful that is. There's no artist that can capture it as beautiful as it is today. Wow. It's amazing.
Now, of course, he kind of meanders around a bunch there, but the early part about he's not sure if he's going to make heaven. Well, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you know you're going to make heaven. That's how that works. But if you think that heaven is something that you have to sort of do enough good or overcome enough bad, you know, then you, I mean, there's a lot of people who believe that, but that's, you know, that's just not Christianity. That's not what the gospel teaches. And I say this because it kind of, when I hear him say these sort of things, and he said one on the Air Force One the other day, let me play this for you for a second, because it's for contrast. This is not just a one-of thing.
You know, I'm being a little cute. I don't think there's anything going to get me in heaven, okay? I really don't. I think I'm not maybe heaven-bound. I may be in heaven right now as we fly in Air Force One. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make heaven. But I've made life a lot better for a lot of people. And, you know, as an example, had the election of 2020 not been rigged, you would have millions of people living just in Russia, Ukraine alone. That would have never happened. And it didn't happen for 4 years. And I knew Putin very well. It was the apple of his eye. All the things I've said would have never happened. We had an incompetent administration. We had an incompetent president. And because of a crooked election, millions of people are dead. And by the way, the Israeli thing was much harder to get settled because of the past administration. Okay?
And I wanted to give you as much context for that early comment as I could. But because in his mind, he's thinking about, I could have saved, and I believe this. I believe that he believes that there would not have been the war in Ukraine if he was president. He said it enough times. I do believe he believes that. And had that not happened, you know, the millions a bit much, you know, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of lives saved, you know, because, and that's worth thinking about, opportunity cost if the war hadn't happened. And so, you know, and he's working now to prevent those kinds of things in the future. And those are the kinds of scales in his mind that he's thinking of is, I have the opportunity to protect millions of people, to protect citizens in cities, is his view of the deployment of the National Guard, to protect the Israelis from the Iranians and from Hamas, to protect Ukraine and NATO from Russia, to protect the entire world from nuclear war. I mean, he really does hate war. And he hates death, and he hates suffering. And in his mind, my interpretation is, he thinks of the power he has to potentially save or, you know, improve the lives of millions of people. And I think in his mind, he's doing the calculation, will that be enough to get me to heaven? And it's wonderful that, you know, he's thinking about doing such great things. And it's also kind of wonderful, something that I don't get to say a lot about Trump. We say that one of the things about, you know, typical Christians that he doesn't demonstrate is humility. You know, he never apologizes for what he's said. He never takes back his words. He never is contrite or humble. But in these expressions, he's actually saying something that I know critics would say, you know, he's being fake humble or pretend humble. But I've heard him say it enough that I don't think it is. I think he really doesn't know where he stands with God. And he wants to know, and he's worried. He's old. He's worried. It happens. And I wish he would get a fuller grasp of the gospel and sort of get the idea that he's been forgiven for everything and accepted, not on the basis of anything he's done as an individual, as an investor, as a husband, as a father, or as the president of the United States, but on the basis of what Jesus did on the cross. You know, that's the gospel. That's what makes it so that you can have done anything and still be accepted by God. So anyway, I don't say any of this to nitpick the president or criticize his faith. I just, when I hear him talking this way, and I know a lot of Christians care deeply about these matters, I think it's a reminder that we should pray for the man, just like you should pray for all your leaders. And frankly, I would always rather have somebody be kind of transparent about their thinking in a way that I think he is being kind of transparent about his thoughts. And Charlie Kirk has really forced him to think about some of these things, even if he's not there yet. You know, there was a moment later on in the speech. Actually, let me play it because it was pretty telling. Later on in her speech, Erica Kirk, when she gets up and talks about her husband, and, you know, she talks about him forgiving and praying for his enemies. You know, Charlie getting ready for his daily routine and how he handled people who disagreed with him. Here's what she said.
He filled every single day with purpose, and he fought for truth when it was unpopular. And he stood for God when it was costly, but that's what we're called to do.
That's exactly what we're called to do.
Surprisingly enough, he did pray for his enemies, which is very hard, but he did. He did. He did. No one else, I mean, I saw him do it. No, he never did it in front of anyone else, but I can attest to that.
And what was the reason they're laughing, and you can't hear, or you can't see it on the radio, but the reason they're laughing is because President Trump is standing, you know, a couple of feet behind her to the side. And you know, when you're, I'm trying to explain what his expression was. It was a kind of a smile and shrug, and you know, when not your enemy but a friend, you're in a group, and they say something about you that you have to admit is true, that is kind of embarrassing, you can't really defend yourself, it's not a big deal, but you know, you're just kind of like, well, you know, that sort of, that's what he did. Because he recognized that she was saying, you know, Charlie did do this, prayed for his enemies, as the Bible commands us to do. And Trump knows that he doesn't do that, doesn't view his enemies that way. And he's certainly loves Erica Kirk, and she loves him. And they have, you know, very interesting relationship. I'm kind of curious to see how this all plays out. But it was a very human moment. And again, I don't say this to criticize the president. I find it kind of neat in a way that somebody seems to be working his way through faith, and maybe there's parts of his own demeanor that he's starting to recognize. I don't know. He's not expressed this in any great depth. John, I've told you many times, you and I've talked about this off the air. I would have trouble interviewing the president.
Yes.
But the one thing I would not want to interview the president. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to interview the president, because I think most of the interviews that are done with him are, I mean, silly. But the one thing I would want to talk to him about is
his faith.
His faith. Yeah. And not like a, hey, you know, what's your favorite Bible verse, or, you know, can you tell me the concept of Calvinism, or, you know, are you a futurist or a preterist, or a, you know, like, you side with the Calvinists or the Arminians, you know, how do you lean here, sir? Do you think baptism has to be by immersion? I'm not talking about that. None of that. I frankly don't think he knows much about those things. I don't think he cares much about those things. And that's all fine. What I would be interested in having a conversation with him is just about, you know, what does he think Christianity is? Who is Jesus Christ? You know, what's his relationship, you know, in the Bible? You know, does he pray? Does he read the Bible? I'd be curious about that. But those are the things that I think would be very interesting to talk with him about. And this keeps coming up more recently. It's been a thing, especially since Charlie Kirk's death. So I don't know if he's thinking about it more. I don't know if they're just lines. They might just be lines that he's throwing out there. But there's something seems to be going on in President Trump's mind and thinking about his faith. And great. Everybody should be thinking about their faith at the age of 15, at the age of 50, at the age of 80. I mean, you know, great. 523 on News Radio 92.3. It was a very touching ceremony, by the way, honoring Charlie Kirk. And, of course, Erica's fantastic. We'll play more of the clips for you later from her comments. And she credited President Trump with having given Charlie Kirk the best birthday gift he ever got, because it was his birthday yesterday. And she said that. She said that this was, you know, the best birthday gift he could have ever given him, to honor him and his fight for freedom, to preserve freedom, to empower people, and to affirm the tremendous importance of operating under the guidance and obedience of God, which is the only way you can really be free, not just the mistaken notion that most of the world has of, you know, if you can do whatever you want, then you're free, and that just leads to chaos, anarchy, and pain. And she and Charlie are exactly right about that. 524 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
As a mom, comforting my family is what I do best. Vicks VapoStick provides soothing, non-medicated Vicks Vapors in an easy-to-apply stick. And it dries fast, so there's no mess. I use it to comfort myself and my family.
Thanks, Mom.
Vicks VapoStick. Soothing comfort for the whole family. And try Vicks VapoShower Max for steamy Vicks Vapors when you need more comfort for yourself. Use as directed.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10, before WEAR TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is crazy.
Good morning, 526 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We were talking before about President Trump, his comments about forgiving your enemies, praying for your enemies, Charlie Kirk, his faith, you know, whether he has grasped the gospel or not, all of that stuff, which I think is all very interesting stuff. And somebody said, you know, Andrew, and this is Trump's version of being humble, which is kind of what I said, which, yeah, I actually think it is. But she says, in his mind, you have to love your enemies, and he knows that he doesn't. So now that makes him wonder whether, you know, because if you believe that loving your enemies and forgiving those who persecute you is one of those kind of like litmus tests for Christianity, and you realize it's not true of you, I mean, that should make you question, do I have this thing that they call faith or the gospel, or am I saved or born again, right? Because that's what it should, you know, which is interesting to watch. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. President Trump and FBI Director Kash Patel set to hold a press conference today in the Oval Office. That's scheduled for 3 p.m. Details on exactly what they'll be discussing are not clear. Of course, as you mentioned, though, yesterday he posthumously awarded Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom in that ceremony.
Can we just not completely ignore the ongoing simple fact that Kash Patel was one of the best names of a person ever?
Absolutely.
Everything else you might say about him, that's a pretty kick-ass name. Go ahead, David.
It's memorable for sure. Israel is cutting aid shipments into Gaza, halving the number of trucks allowed. The reduction comes after the ceasefire with Hamas. The Senate voting down another Republican-backed spending measure aimed at ending the government shutdown yesterday. It's the eighth time lawmakers have turned away the bill, which had already been approved by the House. Democrats say they are still focused on health care issues.
You know, I don't know if you paid attention to the Kristi Noem video that they want played at all the airports, blaming the Democrats for everything. This is the video in question with Kristi Noem, the Secretary of Homeland Security.
I'm Kristi Noem, the United States Secretary of Homeland Security. It is TSA's top priority to make sure that you have the most pleasant and efficient airport experience as possible while we keep you safe. However, Democrats in Congress refuse to fund the federal government. And because of this, many of our operations are impacted, and most of our TSA employees are working without pay. We will continue to do all that we can to avoid delays that will impact your travel. And our hope is that Democrats will soon recognize the importance of opening the government.
I am not surprised the airports aren't playing this. They shouldn't play this. This is purely political. It could have been done in a way that would have been purely informative. If she had just removed the reference to the Democrats and said that we're in the middle of a government shutdown, that's affecting some operations, here are the effects that you're likely to see, to put that up in every airport. That's information. But when you say it's the Democrats' fault, well, you know, as the old expression goes, and it is absolutely true in this case, it takes two to fail to tango. They are failing to tango. So, yeah, I'm not surprised. You know, this came up in the press conference with the mayor yesterday. He was asked, you know, are you playing that thing at the airport? And the answer was kind of cagey. You know, Amy Miller, who's the deputy city administrator and over the enterprises like the airport, and she said, well, all the ad slots are paid up, you know. Which is true. I'm not criticizing Amy. Amy's fantastic at her job. She's a wonderful person. But, you know, there's no room at the inn for Kristi Noem. I mean, if they want to bring in their own equipment and put up a TV display and put it up on a stand and play it in the security area, I mean, TSA controls the area. They can play their own video. But we've sold out all of our video ad space, so no.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. President Trump with a warning to the terror group Hamas.
They're going
to
disarm, and because they said they were going to disarm. And if they don't disarm, we will disarm them.
That is part of phase two, but to reach that point in the Gaza ceasefire deal, Hamas must continue handing over remains of the hostages.
Overnight, Hamas released the bodies of three additional hostages. The total number of remains that stands now still in Hamas captivity is 21 people. Regional media reports that Egyptian teams will enter Gaza to help Hamas locate the remains.
Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. The Israeli military said today one of the bodies handed over by Hamas the previous day is not one of the hostages who was held in Gaza. And today is day 15 of the partial government shutdown. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got clear skies. It is 63 degrees in Pensacola. A 65-year-old motorcyclist was hurt in a crash on Michigan Avenue. This happened about 5 o'clock last night. FHP says the rider was headed east on Michigan towards Marseille Drive. Two vehicles in front of that motorcycle slowed down to make a turn. He went around those vehicles and accelerated. That's when troopers say he crashed into an SUV that was turning out from Marseille Drive onto Michigan Avenue. That rider was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Nobody else was hurt in the crash. Now, the city of Pensacola asking residents to participate in a public listening session next week regarding the restoration of Bay Bluffs Park. That session is scheduled for Wednesday at the Vickery Community Center. The project is backed by a $2 million state grant, which they say will enable the city to restore public access to the park, which, of course, now has been closed for 2 years due to unsafe conditions. UWF's considering the removal of Juneteenth as one of 8 paid holidays for employees. Dropping the event from the calendar would fall in line with a series of decisions UWF has made to purge DEI efforts from the institution. The Board of Trustees will vote on that proposed calendar change December 11th at the University Conference Center. A convicted killer from Hillsborough County is dead after being executed last night at Florida State Prison. The Florida Department of Corrections says Samuel Lee Smithers died at 6:15 Eastern last night. The 72-year-old killed two women almost 30 years ago. Smithers is the 14th person the state has executed this year. Two more are on the schedule. The next one is in 2 weeks. Well, there is some optimism that this latest military strike off Venezuela's coast could lead to change. President Trump announcing yesterday 6 people were killed when the U.S. targeted a boat being used for drug trafficking. Miami's Ernesto Ackerman is from Venezuela. He's president of Independent Venezuelan American Citizens. He said he believes this latest strike could be the end of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Ackerman tells CBS News that he believes the strikes are part of a surgical plan to take out Maduro. Now, Rick Scott celebrating a big win for the state. Scott talked yesterday about the National Defense Authorization Act. The Senate passed the NDAA last week. Scott says it includes pay raises for the troops and $950 million for critical military construction projects throughout the state. He said the NDAA supports the troops and will keep future generations of Floridians and Americans safe. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
Sunny day today with a high near 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 83. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Friday, sunny weather with a high near 82. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 72 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 60 degrees. Right now, we've got clear skies. Our next news is at 6 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Instagram will limit what users under 18 can see on the platform using filters inspired by the PG-13 movie rating system. Modeled on the Motion Picture Association's ratings, the new system will restrict posts featuring strong language, risky stunts, drug references, or other mature themes. ASML continues to benefit from the AI boom, with investments helping to fuel orders worth nearly $6.3 billion in the third quarter. The chip giant said it does not expect 2026 total net sales to be below 2025 and will communicate further on its goals in January. OpenAI CEO Sam Altman said adult ChatGPT users can soon access a less censored version of the artificial intelligence chatbot, which will include erotic materials. Though it remains unclear what material will qualify as permitted erotica, the move could represent a major shift in OpenAI's policy, which formerly prohibited such content in most contexts. The change will take place in December. Futures are moderately higher. That's Your Money Now.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
The Orr House Restaurant celebrates 20 years serving Pensacola great food, drinks, and good times. They've survived a fire, a rebuild, oil spills, recessions, hurricanes, blizzards, even a global pandemic. For over 20 years, they say thank you, Pensacola. Join in this Saturday from 11 till midnight for their customer appreciation extravaganza with live music, face painting, a photo booth, food and drink specials, and great door prize giveaways. This Saturday at the Orr House Restaurant on Bayou Chico, the friendly place with a big day.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other show. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Call Jeff Wayne to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
They've awarded more than 121,000 degrees. Their alumni network is more than 100,000 Argo strong and is a major driver of economic impact, generating approximately $1.4 billion in total annual sales. UWF is more than a university. It's a symbol of success. Tomorrow, 11:15 a.m., Interim President Manny Diaz delivers the 2025 State of the University speech. Hear it live on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby.
92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and every Tuesday we have a chance to talk to Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. No different yesterday. He was here in studio with us. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Doing great. Let's talk about some of the incidents in a minute, but I want to make sure we get fair news out first, because that's obviously it's happening on Thursday, and we're going to have a lot of deputies out there at the fair, and they're going to be flying their drones and doing their metal detectors and all kinds of stuff, right? And the key announcement...
Keeping people safe.
Yeah, absolutely. The key announcement this year is no weapons, not even concealed, right?
That's the fair's. The fair is a private entity, and they have made determination that they do not allow open or concealed carry of firearms. So that's correct. And I think they also said that you have to have a clear baggage, much like you would at a concert venue.
So if you're, you know, if you're going to take a bag, it's going to have to be easily to see what's inside.
Yes.
And there will be metal detectors, right?
There was metal detectors last year, and there should be metal detectors this year as well. We don't actually do the metal detecting.
Okay.
We have been working for months with the folks at the fair trying to get make sure that we have the most secure facility that we can have.
What's the biggest problem you deal with at the fair? Drunk people?
Probably. Drunk people. Sometimes we have kids that will go back to the car, and they'll start drinking. You know, underage kids will do that in the parking lot. But we'll have deputies in the parking lot. We'll have deputies in the midway. We'll have deputies as many places as we possibly can.
And not all of them wearing uniforms?
Not all of them wearing uniforms. And we'll also have our video platforms. We have those portable video trailers that we have. So we'll have probably five of those, if not all six of those at the fair. We're going to have hundreds of thousands of people go through this fair during the 10 days It's here, and we just want people to be safe, and we want people to understand that we're out there to make sure they're going to be safe.
Very good. And as always, if you see something, find a person and tell them. If you see something
concerning.
Yeah, we're
going to be 50 or 60 deputies out there, but there's also, again, besides the video and the 50 or 60 deputies, we're going to have thousands of eyes. And so we are asking people, if you see something crazy or suspicious, to let us know. There's going to be deputies walking around.
Very good. Now to the sort of incidents that have taken place. We had a really awful one take place in McDavid. I think it was last Tuesday. It was either like right before, maybe the night before you and I talked, or maybe that day. But pretty awful.
The murder-suicide.
Yes.
Yeah. That's what it was. It was evidence that it was an individual that was shot and killed while he was sleeping. Still had the CPAP machine on. Mm-hmm. And then there was the suicide. The female took her own life after that.
That's kind of unusual for the, I mean, you, unfortunately, whatever, the stereotype, the most common is that the man is the violent aggressor, but this is a case where the woman allegedly shot the man and then took her own life, which is kind of unusual.
Statistically, this is rare.
Yeah. All right. And she's in custody. Oh, well, I'm sorry, because she took her own life, so it's kind of resolved,
Andrew.
Yeah. You had a shooting in Montclair on Wednesday at Deauville Way, Massachusetts Avenue.
Yeah, there was a male that suffered a gunshot wound to his chest. He was taken to the hospital. He is expected to survive. We spoke to him. He was alert when it first happened. We spoke to him, and he was not necessarily cooperative. And so we decided that once he has some time to think about it and recover a bit, we spoke to him again, and he informed us that he will let us know if he is willing to cooperate. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's candid. You got to, you know, at least he's up front. He's not just telling you some lie and pretending it's true. He's telling you he's not sure he's going to cooperate with you.
That's correct. Now we're still investigating. I'm not saying that
we've
closed
it. Sure, you don't stop just because of that.
However, it's going to make it more difficult, no doubt.
Shot in the chest.
Correct.
Recovers.
Is recovering.
I might help you. I might not. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll call you.
Okay. All right. Moving on. We had a massive, fairly large amount of stolen property and narcotics recovered in cantonment. What happened here?
Well, they were stealing everything they could get their hands on, basically. It was the group that was there, obviously up to no good. There was a couple of people arrested. There was four, I think, total arrested. At the time, we seized over $100,000 worth of stolen equipment, motorcycles. There was a gun. We end up charging someone with possession of a firearm by a convicted felon. It was someone had a warrant. Someone had drugs. They had a little bit of everything. So the bottom line is, over the past couple of months, this crew and a couple people that we had arrested previous that were already in jail have been stealing stuff and trying to sell it, or fencing, if you will. And our investigators did a really good job of trying to piece it all together, and we seized as much property as we can. The investigation is continuing. We think that there's still some people that might have been involved, either knew or should have known that the property was stolen, and they quite frankly didn't care.
When people try to sell stolen property, you know, in the movies, it's always, I got a guy, you know, who's going to move it for me. Because, you know, pawn shops are well aware that stolen property might come to them, and they work with you guys
they
all
have
the time.
Right.
Yeah. I always think
you have to identify yourself when you pawn something, yes.
And also these days, a lot of people think, oh, well, Facebook Marketplace, I can sell a thing. Well, you know, the actual owner can look on Facebook Marketplace too and see if it shows up, right?
Right. Yeah, these people were selling it through people that they knew. They weren't
network
necessarily
of criminals
broadcasting it, you know, for sales type of stuff.
Okay, oh, so that's a real thing. That's a real, like, there's a fence out there who's going to take the stolen goods and charge a commission for, or is that?
For instance, if I steal a motorcycle and I say, hey, Andrew, I'll give you this motorcycle. I just need $100 right today.
Okay.
I don't have the keys. You're going to have to tote it off and somehow try to, you know, figure it out yourself. You knew or should have known that was stolen, and or you've bought something.
Well, I just figured that's why you were giving
past.
Me such a good deal, is because
well,
it didn't come
friends.
With keys.
Yeah, well, that there's a discount there. I don't know if it's that heavily discounted.
All right, fair enough. Still stuck on the smoking deal on the motorcycle with no keys. That is apparently how this works.
That was for instance.
Yeah, right, okay.
Even though we did seize a couple of stolen motorcycles.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Based on a true story. How about that?
Okay. All right. I'll let it be. 17-year-old Yandel Duran wanted for shots fired back in September in Quietwater Beach.
If you remember, there was a couple of disturbances. The first took place, I think, in the parking garage in downtown. And then somehow they moved to the boardwalk area, and there was another bit of a disturbance. And at one point, this car sped off, and before speeding off, someone reached out with a handgun and shot into the crowded area, or the area where the cars were.
From the car.
No, from the car. They were speeding away, right. And fortunately, no one was hit. But the cars, he did shoot a couple cars up. We had identified this guy, 17 years old, as the individual that that actually fired his shots. We knew for some time about the car, which car it was, who owned the car, and we felt like we knew who was in the car. And then we established probable cause to believe that it was this 17-year-old.
Is there a why? Is there a, I mean.
It's based on this fight.
Okay.
Someone got jumped at one disturbance, and then there was some back and forth at the second disturbance, and you know, unfortunately, people take it upon themselves with firearms.
Lingering anger, resentment, frustration, humiliation.
Stupidity.
Whatever. Stupidity, sure. Anyway. Joshua Garnett, Keyshawn McDaniel, and Sakori Lewis charged with carjacking on 9 Mile Road. This is at the Jasmine Creek Apartments. If you're going on 9 Mile, it's just west of University. Or like, if you're on University, it's kind of behind the woods on the west. But this is a pretty scary story.
Yeah, they carjack an individual.
Two women,
two
is that
people,
right?
And they get out of the car and they run to get some help. They ended up taking the car, and then when we get there, we see them running from that car. They had to run the car off and abandoned it. And then we see them running into an apartment. We get a search warrant for the apartment. We end up collecting guns from the firearms from the vehicle itself, and then we got like the mask and some different things and the bad guys from the apartment. So our guys did a good job of responding quickly, tracking and then getting a search warrant and catching these felons.
Were they? I mean, residents just parked in the parking lot? Was the car driving? Do you know?
I don't have the information. I don't understand that they were residents.
Okay.
They were probably visiting people. Or
But they were involved in something bad. This is just they happen to be victims of this crime, as far as you know.
As far as we know.
Okay. Because I will tell you, you know, to this day, like the Tryon Branch Library is my library branch, and I go through the drive-thru, which is adjacent to the park, and because it's a sedan, the window for the drive-thru, you kind of have to get out. It's a every time I get it, every single time I stand there and I think, Bonnie and Clyde, that's where, you know, they came through and they carjacked somebody in that parking lot, and I'm ready. But you don't have just that one place where bad things happen, right? Just because a bad thing happened in one place, very unlikely to happen there again.
Again, it's
but
it's
bad
very
things
rare.
Happening in who knows where.
who knows where, right? And that's why I ask people to be aware of your surroundings. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about a lot about, you know, if you're going to open carry or if you're going to conceal carry, be aware mm-hmm. of what someone may try to do. We don't want you to be fearful, you know, to go to the grocery store, but just be aware of what you're doing and who's around you.
I think about it in the same context of, I don't know if you remember, but a couple of years ago, there was a car driving north on Chemstrand towards 9 Mile and just rammed through several cars that were stopped at the light and continued on through across 9 Mile. And it was kind of an incident at the time. And like, I mean, you know, or the Fairfield shooting, you know, and just think of like just random people going about their day. And then all of a sudden there's a gun battle in your midst. You know, it's pretty rare. But it happens.
Fortunately, it's pretty rare, yeah.
You know, thank God it's rare, but it does happen. And, you know, you like you say all the time, you got to be prepared. You got to look at your surroundings. You got to think through these things. What would you do? Because in the moment, you usually react badly.
Well, obviously, save yourself.
Yep.
And save the people that you're with. And then just, again, do whatever you have to save yourself.
Right.
And survive the day.
And by the way, it's part of the reason that I appreciate you guys are taking a more aggressive stance on the stolen cars and pitting them is because you have recognized that. How do we prevent that kind of stuff from happening or from people going through cars in the middle of the night and or the day or whatever? Well, you know, this is how we get them is we take them out when they're in the stolen car because that's a frequent contributor, right? So I appreciate that you guys
backtrack.
Are preventing.
Okay, it seems like all these cars are stolen, so let's stop it. You know, if we can't stop a car from being stolen, we can certainly stop it while, you know, whenever we identify it as being stolen.
You also had kind of a weird case in Perdido where somebody was just acting strange. You guys got called out?
Yeah, we got a call that a person was acting erratically. That was the description.
So over the weekend?
Jumping on top of, happened on the 11th. Jumping on top of cars, chasing cars, and word is that this has been going on for a couple of days, really, and that he was, and that he had attacked someone and they were holding him down. So we get there and an individual was unconscious, and we did CPR, and then Life Flight took him to a medical facility where, unfortunately, the next day he was pronounced deceased. So again, we're waiting for the toxicology reports, and the medical examiner will let us know what the cause of death was. But it's an open investigation, investigation.
I mean, I feel bad, of course, for the person. I also feel bad for your deputies. They didn't get a win. You know, You know, it's just hard. I mean, it's part of the job, but it's a hard part of the job.
Well, I would tell you, I watched the body camera footage because this is unusual.
Yeah.
And I mean the efforts that they put forth. You can hear the AEDs, and I guess I haven't watched or heard that in some time. But it gives you the instructions, you know, to get the compressions, and it's repeatedly telling you to do it rather quickly. By the way, based upon what I heard, what I was trained to do. But I mean, they tried. They really tried. And as you said, sometimes it's not enough.
Yeah, the rate is, I haven't done a class in a long time, but as I understand it, the recommended rate is the beat to staying alive, which is a good, easy to remember,
that.
But even, you know, very, very fast and just compressions these days. They don't do breaths anymore.
That's
right. Last thing, it's a good news note, so we'll take it after some of the bad stuff. Dining with deputies today at Bubba's 33, right? Creighton and Davis?
Yeah, Bubba's 33 is, they do this on occasion, and we appreciate that. So today at lunch and dinner, they'll give a portion of the proceeds to the Skamby County Sheriff Foundation. So we'll be eating lunch there. I'll be eating lunch and dinner there.
Two burgers for Chip.
Well, no, I'll probably pace myself. I think I'll get a salad. Or no, I won't.
You get a salad.
But I'll get a moderate lunch, and then I'll do what I normally do.
What is a moderate lunch for Chip Simmons?
I don't know. Probably a hamburger, some fries.
I'm like, come on.
Some appetizers.
Two burgers, an appetizer. Yeah, all right.
I'm a growing boy.
I know you are.
And the proceeds are going to the foundation.
That's right. So
all,
you know,
it's all good, right?
You're feeding you and you're feeding your foundation
as
well.
I'm supporting the foundation.
But I do think people actually want to know the question. Does Sheriff Simmons ever eat a salad?
Yes. I like salads.
Do you?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, it's in addition to.
It's not an
a meal. Salads aren't meals. But you get it. I give me a side salad.
Sure, a side
almost
salad.
Every time.
I see you as a side salad guy with your pasta or, you know,
I don't know what that means.
Steak.
Yes. Oh, yeah, with the real food?
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
It's a flavor contrast. That's all that is. That's just something you do in passing while you're getting the real
filler.
Food.
It's a filler. Yeah.
Is it? A filler?
Yeah.
Okay. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Skamby County Sheriff Chip Simmons, always a pleasure, sir.
You bet.
Again, that today, by the way, is the Bubba's 33 from 11 to 8, right?
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. So, and share the proceeds
come
if you
see
spend
us.
Money. Go say hi, tell them you love them, and buy them some food, buy yourself some food, and buy Sheriff Simmons a salad. I'm Andrew McKay. So, by the way, that was yesterday, of course. Our interview with him was yesterday, so that's over. But they do it periodically. I just still think it's funny that he tried to pretend like, oh, yeah, I'll order a salad. Chip, please. Come on now. I know you better than that. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are interested in getting a perspective on real estate, Christina Leavenworth is a great person to ask. And I say it that way because, you know, if you know you want to sell or buy a home, or both, it's very common to do both, right? Obviously, she's fantastic at this. She and her folks know how to do this. Give her a call. She'll help you. But it might just be that you have a question you want to ask. And you know how sometimes you have a question like, I don't even know who to ask about this. And she's the person. She just, if it's a real estate related thing, just give her a call and say, I know I don't know you. I know this sounds crazy, but Andrew McKay says I can call you and ask my real estate questions. She'll be like, yep. And then you can ask and you can talk. And if it needs to go to a coffee or the meeting or something, that's fine. If it's nothing else, that's fine too. She just loves to meet people and talk with them and, you know, teach people what she knows about real estate. And, you know, she understands that if you talk to enough people, those become clients, those become sales, that's income, right? That's what she does. And she's incredibly good at this. 165 homes sold last year, which is just still a crazy number to me. And she's only been doing it, I have to do the math, I think it's about 7 years now that she's been selling homes. Maybe eight, seven, I think it's probably about right. But anyway, a lot of homes, very good on knowing what the market's doing, very good on helping you think through these situations, ask the right questions, get good answers, and make sure that you're getting the best possible deal buying or selling. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
The American Revolution, a new documentary from Ken Burns, explores America's founding struggle and its 8-year war for independence. WSRE invites you to a special preview screening on Tuesday, October 21st at 7 p.m. in the Amos Studio. The film will be followed by a conversation with Kathleen Duvall, Pulitzer Prize-winning author of Independence Lost, about the Revolutionary War along the Gulf Coast. Admission is free. Visit WSRE.org to register and learn more.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 92% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from cosmetology and plumbing to nursing and aviation airframe mechanics. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for spring semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. Go here. Get there.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida tomorrow at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app.
But I don't want any of that. I'd rather...
Rather what?
I'd rather just...
Stop that, stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
Good morning, 5:57, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline or two for us. David?
Well, the Senate voted down another Republican-backed spending measure aimed at ending the government's shutdown yesterday. It's the eighth time lawmakers have turned away the bill, which has already been approved in the House. Consumer Reports is raising alarms over lead in protein powders. They say they tested 23 protein powders and shakes and found more than two-thirds contained more lead per serving than experts consider safe for a full day. And Instagram rolling out some changes that they say will make the app safer for teenagers. The updates will limit sexualized content and other mature material for teen-specific accounts, which they say will create a PG-13-like experience.
Well, when they roll out the feature that says when you're under 15, the screen just shuts off and doesn't work for Instagram, we will have arrived at the safer version, the genuinely safer
version. That would
version
be safe,
of Instagram.
Yes, absolutely.
David, thanks so much for the update. 5:58 on News Radio 92.3. We had another execution yesterday. I know David has mentioned this, and the only reason I mention is because we are finally executing our death row inmates, which is, it's awful that we have to. It is good that we finally are. Nobody should ever celebrate the death penalty, but we should do it. We should do it efficiently. It should be done much closer to the events. This is a 1996 pair of murders. It's the 14th person executed this year in Florida. This particular person was murdered, Denise Roach and Christy Cowan, at a isolated property where he worked as a caretaker in Hillsborough County, put their bodies in a pond, basically picked them up at a motel and have sex for money and brought them to the property, bludgeoned them to death, and that's the story. The argument had been made that you can't execute him. He's too old. He's 72. It's like executing the mentally incompetent, was the argument that his lawyers made. And the judge said, yeah, that's not the same thing. We're going to go ahead. There's no age limit to the execution laws in the state of Florida. And that's all there is to it. And we have two more coming up, including one person from Santa Rosa County, I think is the next one on the agenda.